Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Prem Champak. Champak took sannyas in 2012 and is the director of the Osho Research and Archive Center in Portland, Oregon. Champak is a historian, archivist, teacher, and spiritual seeker. By collecting physical objects and artifacts, Champak aims to keep the stories of the sannyasins who live in Rajneeshpuram alive. Champak is dedicated to educate the public about the true essence and the spiritual element of Osho, which is too often sensationalized or ignored. Hello, Champak. Welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
Hello, it's great to see you. Wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm feeling great. Today is an amazing sunny day.
Good. That's wonderful.
Okay, Champak. So I really look forward to this discussion with you. We are going to talk about something really amazing that you're doing. It's a beautiful project. But to start, I'd love to know how you started your relationship with Osho, how you came to know about Osho.
Yes, actually, I was teaching at a school and they had a 5-part series come out on the 25th anniversary of Rajneeshpuram. And I had moved here from a different state, so I knew nothing about it, of course. And so I was really intrigued by it. And I went to one of the secretaries and I said, showed her the paper. And I said, what do you know about this? And her eyes got really big and she got very opinionated. And I went, oh, there must be something here. So it kind of lit a fire in me. And I was like, I want to learn more about this. And so I read the series, of course, and I was very intrigued by Rajneeshpuram and what happened there and the city that was built. And so I tried to get more information. But what was missing was, who was Osho? Why were the people there? What was the draw? What was the spiritual draw for these people to come? I didn't see it anywhere in the articles at all. And so that led me to go, well, I want to find out more. So then I searched to see if there was any archives available that I could do more research. They had an archive at one of the universities. So I went to the university and looked through their archives, and I still couldn't get a sense of what it was. It still was a blank piece. So I went to the Historical Society, who has film and archives as well, and I still didn't get a sense of it. And so I went on a search to find out, who is this man and what is the attraction and what is this thing all about? I really wanted to know. So I believe I got a hold of Viha, Danya Minosho Viha, and he had sent me some things. And so I started reading, but I'm a visual and an audio kind of person as well. So I got one of the tapes of the discourses, and I can't recall what the discourse was right now, but I listened to it and tears just started flowing down my face. It was like all of the spiritual searching and the things that was in my heart, somebody actually put into words. And it was really surprising to me. And I was like, oh, somebody gets it. Somebody gets my heart and is able to communicate that in words. And it really touched me a lot. And then so I kept going and I wanted to know more. And pretty soon that led me to the very beginning, to the Acharya books. And I started reading those, and those just blew me away. I just loved those. And so then I went back and I was like, okay, can I find any audio? What was the first audio? And That Art Thou, I believe, was the first audio that came out at the meditation camp. So I listened to that, and then I just couldn't get enough. And then when I saw that there was video available, I came across Osho World, and they had video of some of the early ones. And so I ordered those and saw those, and that just captured me. Just seeing him, listening to him, nonverbals, all of that, it was just amazing to me. And so then I went back to my original, well, how come the spiritual part of the story isn't in here anywhere? Now, I understand that when they came, the first thing they did was, from what I believe in this area, they showed the film Ashram, and then they started calling him the sex guru. So before I think he even came, or right when he came here, that was already labeled. So everything was based on that. But to me, that just didn't seem complete. That just didn't seem right to me. So I just went and I was like, well, I want to learn more about it. So in my searching and my learning more about it, then I became intrigued that there weren't many stories of people. Who were these people? And how come there's not much about the man, Osho, and what he believed and what he taught people? So that began the journey. And it really started with the books. And I was like, okay, I would love to get all of the first edition books. I think I got the way of the White Clouds was the first book I got. And I opened it and it had the pictures. And I was like, oh, this is great. I love the history of it. I love looking at those old first editions. And so I started collecting the first editions. And so that kind of began the journey where I was trying to hunt those down. Now, this was well before Wild Wild Country. So it was kind of challenging to find a lot of the old first editions. Of course, now they're coming out more and more where they're more available, easier than they were back in back when I picked this up in 2012. So that kind of began. And then as I went through that process, I started connecting with people and asking questions. And, you know, the books really intrigued me. So that's how I got a hold of Vina. I heard that she was one of the bookmakers. So I had questions about how the books were prepared and the process and all of that. So that kind of began my journey. There is a Roshani Shay really kind of gave the blessing to this project and gave me my first artifact, gave the center the first artifact, and gave it his blessing. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll collect some artifacts because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot out there for people to see and kind of see where this leads. So it really piqued. It piqued my love of history, my love of spirituality. It piqued my interest in collecting. So it's kind of like all of these little pieces just kind of fit together. And so that's how I began the journey. Danyam was real instrumental in helping me come up with the name. Of course, I got my sannyas from Danyam, and he's just been a real wonderful support as well. So I've had just wonderful and amazing people along the way just really share their heart as well as their items with the center here. So it's been a real wonderful journey. Yes.
Wonderful. I can really feel your excitement, your joy in doing what you're doing. And just for people, because obviously you hinted already, not just how your journey with Osho started, but what you started doing in terms of building this archive. Mm-hmm. So let's get into that. So you already mentioned, the first steps. And so basically, essentially what you're doing is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's building a sort of museum research center where you collect items that belong to Osho or belong to sannyasins. So tell us what you're doing.
Oh, sure. So it started with the first edition books and me wanting to build that first collection so that there was a physical place that people could come and see. I know some of the new books don't have the photographs and don't have some of the historical stuff that the old first editions did. So as I said, Roshani gave me a handkerchief that was given to her by Osho when she had gotten into a car accident. So she presented that to me and said, let this be a start. So I just started thinking, I want to preserve the story. I want it to be positive preservation. And I wanted it to be accessible to people to be able to learn more. Now, as far as the research part of it, I have to say that the Sannyas Wiki and the Osho Source Book were just very instrumental in me doing this the whole way. It's just amazing to be able to read all of that and learn all of that. So then I just started reaching out to people. As I came across names, I reached out to kind of see who was doing what, and I would inquire if they had any articles or anything that they would like to contribute to the center. What was really fascinating at this time was that it was really underground. It was really underground. Some people I contacted didn't want anything to touch. No. I don't want anything to do with it. Some people would talk to me, but be very, not sure. And then, as I contacted more and more people, all of a sudden, I just started collecting different things from different people, sending them, saying, here's some things for the archive. And then when Wild Wild Country came out, all of a sudden it was this big explosion of everyone writing their memoirs and all of that. So what else?
No, I think it's, I would like to... I'm interested to hear a little bit more what you make about the fact that at the beginning you faced some kind of resistances. Let's put it this way. You said that people were a little bit underground.
Mm-hmm. Not many people, like some of the therapists didn't want to talk about Osho. Some of the old therapists that I contacted, they really thought of, I would say there was a good percentage of people that thought of, that's my past and I don't want to go there and I don't want to talk about it. And slowly but surely, as I started communicating, then they started opening up a little bit. Once they saw that my heart was in the right place. So it was challenging to talk to people, and it was challenging to have people want to talk to me, to get people to talk to me about who they were, why people were there, what drew them, and all the questions that I had. As far as the archives and the museum part goes, I had contacted, I got in contact with somebody, and they had said, well, if Osho wanted a museum, he would have built a museum. And so it was pretty much I kind of ran into a brick wall there. But then I came across an article in one of the Rajneesh Times that was talking about their archive collection that they were doing in the early 90s and how they were doing this archive collection and everything. And I thought, wait a minute, if it's good enough for you guys to do the archive collection, then obviously Osho didn't say he didn't want an archive collection. So when I met with Resistance, I just kind of went back and kept going on my path. And
Well, I think at this point, what I would love to hear from you, it's of course, in the introduction, as you were talking, I got the feeling and I got the picture and I know why you're doing what you're doing, I guess. But I'd love to know, what are your motivations? What drives you in doing what you're doing?
What drives me is having physical items that tell the story of who Osho was and who the sannyasins were that were part of the movement and that were part of building the city. And because their story wasn't told. In the research that I did, at least as far as the archives go, there was no stories told about the people, about the thousands of people who were there and who built the city and who came, and even the ones from Kuna One. I couldn't get a sense, other than in the books, I couldn't get a sense of who they were. And I was more intrigued about the people, but I was also intrigued about the fact that there was a big hole in the Osho story about the man himself and the beliefs that wasn't available. So my intention was to try and build something out of that. I didn't expect it to be what it's become. It was just the start of, I really want to have something available for people to get that side of the story, to get that sense of what was the spiritual draw for the people who came, because it was a spiritual draw for myself. Even though I wasn't part of any of that, I understood it. I understood it, but I couldn't, there wasn't a sense of the story being told from that point of view, and lots of missing pieces, I thought.
I think you're absolutely right. And that's what's missing, even with the recent phenomenon of Wild Wild Country. It's missing, you know, it's all again framed in a way where the emphasis is on things that are not as relevant as you would like to know, and I would love to. And, you know, that the spiritual part is completely missing. Every time there are discussions about Osho today, even today, they're never on Osho's ideas, Osho's vision, mm-hmm. Osho's message, Osho's mm-hmm. contribution to the world. It's mm-hmm. all about, again, the same old rotten stories of those mm-hmm. you know, scandals or whatever.
So, yeah, and that's been gone over and gone over and gone over. But what's the core of it? That's to me the thing. What's the core? Because that's a huge piece. And with that piece missing, the story is very one-sided. And it doesn't really make sense. It didn't make sense to me that all these people came, because that part of the story wasn't available for me to know. So as I knew it, I went, aha, that's it. That's it right there. Now, why is that not available? Why did it take me so much work to get to that point? And I thought, well, it shouldn't be this hard for people to learn about it and to understand the spiritual meaning behind what he was doing and why people were attracted to him and are attracted to him.
Exactly. And they're still today attracted to him, despite a lot of bad media reporting. But whoever has the courage or the pull to go beyond that and read Osho directly, most of the time, that's where people really get it.
Yeah. And I couldn't help but just be drawn in. I couldn't help but just be drawn in. So it didn't start as, oh, I want to build an archive or anything. It just kind of came out of my journey going forward. But it was fascinating to kind of off the subject, but I had some extra books from the Bhagwan Rajneesh books, and I had taken them to Powell's bookstore. And they had a few Osho books on the shelf, not very many, but when I handed them in to sell them to them so they can put them on their shelves, they didn't know Osho and Bhagwan were the same people. So it was fascinating to know that people saw Osho here, but they didn't have the connection here. Not until Wild Wild Country did they really have the connection. And so I found that really fascinating, especially here in Portland, where I would imagine they would have known that. So I came across all those little interesting things as well. So it's been wonderful. It's been quite a experience. So much I would like to do that I just can't do on my own by myself. So I've done what I've could. And I'm I'm in the process of trying to get with one of the local universities to see if they would help catalog the items, if they would help curate a showing or a museum where I could tell the story. I could tell the other side of the story, and that could be available for people to view and to see and to understand the other side of the coin, so to speak.
It's amazing. It's wonderful. So essentially, you are trying to create a story to educate people and tell the story that is not told.
Yes. And as a teacher, that's really important to me. And it was a really important piece that was missing. And I feel really sad about that part was missing, because I think that would have brought a little more understanding instead of it just being labeled from the very start. I think it would have brought a little more understanding if it had been presented in a spiritual way.
One thing I've noticed on your website, you say that you have received requests to assist with historical research. Can you talk about that?
Well, I have authors. I've had a lot of wonderful people contact me to ask me for information. A lot of times they're looking for things to put in their films or things like that. The research part of it, I have sannyasins who contact me and say, I remember this article from this newspaper that I wrote or that was written. Can you look for it for me? And so I really love that part of it, as well as when people reach out or families reach out to want to learn more about their parents and to be able to kind of look through and see if I can find an article on a paper or one of the magazines, or if it's somebody asking about a certain discourse, to be able to look, try and find the discourse or even connect them with somebody who has that information. So, being a liaison that way is just, it just means a lot to me. I've met a number of families whose parents were there and they wanted to know more about it. And then some of them had physical things that they wanted to contribute to keep to keep the memory of their parent alive, because so many of them said that was the best time in my life. By far, nothing compared to that. And so it's important for some people to say, I really want the memory to stick around because it means so much. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with these things. And I don't need them anymore, but I would like the memory of my father or my mother to be there still. So, of course, I take those items in and I have them write a story about it if they're willing to do that. so that I have a connection there with the item itself. So
very beautiful. So yeah. Give us a little bit of an overview of the items you are collecting. So what have you got?
Oh boy. I've gotten, let's start with the books. I've gotten all the first edition books up to 1990. And then after 1990, the translations. As a new translation comes out, then that goes into the collection as well. Or if I see something that's really unique. But the first editions was really important to me because those are the words. And especially the older ones that were spoken in Hindi, to have those in English, that was really important to me. And those are the ones I love so much. They really are powerful and they really touch my heart so much. So I have that. Magazines, newspapers. I have the digital archives. So I have all of the audio, all of the video archives.
Sorry,
available.
Can I interrupt you? You have audio discourses and video discourses, Osho audio and video discourses.
Yes. Somebody donated all of the audio archives and all the video archives that were done in 1990 when they made the change to putting that out again. And so they sent me 8 gigabytes, 10 gigabytes or terabytes. I'm not sure what that's called. I call it gigabytes, but it's probably terabytes. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I'm not an expert.
Anyways. Please,
are they available for people to download and listen? Do you make them available? Or?
Well, and some of them, you know, Osho World has the audio discourses for free. So sometimes I'll lead them there because they have most of those available. The video, if somebody gets a hold of me and is looking for a certain discourse, then yes, then I will just copy that. I will send that to them because some of those are hard to find. So I have those. I have clothing from the ranch. I have flags from the ranch. Of course, I have Osho's robe from Rajneeshpuram. That was actually given in a discourse, two discourses actually from the time. And trying to remember what it was. Anyways, it was during the Rajneesh Bible times. And so that was brilliant and wonderful. I've gotten hat, Osho hat, towels, that, you know, the hand towels. What else? His swimming trunks from Rajneeshpuram. Somebody said, are you interested in swimming trunks? And I said, sure, that's great. You know, anything that is related to him at all. So it's been kind of fascinating to have people, just to have people go, well, I have this. Champak, would you like this? And sure, that would be great. So items come in occasionally. Occasionally I'll contact somebody and it's always a balance between asking, do you have any physical items that can go in the archive, and at the same time wanting to respect, you know, not wanting to just I don't know how to say it exactly, just wanting to be respectful of all the items that come in and given it their due place. So what else? There's I have letters from Sheila from prison. We have letters that were donated, and I had contacted Sheila and asked if it was okay, because the person who donated those was a little concerned after I received it, and they didn't know if they wanted me to have them or they wanted them back. They were just concerned. So I just had contacted Sheila, and she was really nice to talk to me and everything. And she said, yeah, go ahead and keep them. That's great. That's fine. She's been supportive in the times that I've contacted her. She's been really supportive of it. The other thing is all the Sannyasin's memoirs, as well as the first edition book collection. I've been trying to get all of the memoirs that have been written all the way back to Civitas. And so all the way back, I have tried to contact the people if they're still alive to chat with them or to get them to sign a book for the archive, to have them in there so other people, that way, to me, their spirits in the archive. And so if people want to read about them, that there's kind of a little bit of a personal connection there with that. So license plates, I could go on and on. Lots of little stuff.
Of the famous Rolls Royces.
Yes, yes. I haven't, you know, one of them came up years ago for sale for $40,000 here in Oregon. And boy, I had lots of discussions with my wife about that would be really good to have for the museum, but it was much too expensive for myself.
So exactly. So the next question is, like, do you purchase the items? So sometimes I guess there are donations, but and then how do you finance all this project?
Say that second part again.
How do you finance? Is this, are you putting your own time, money, and energy? Do you have a day
job? Yes.
Or are you doing this full time? Are you retired? You know, I don't know.
No, I'm a school teacher full time. So this just became a project of love that's kind of blossomed into what it is now. So yes, a lot of that has been my purchases. And sometimes I will get doubles of things. And so if I have a double of something and it's something that I purchased, then I feel okay about selling it or giving it away to other people. So a lot of my own personal money and time. Yes, absolutely. Probably more that than donations. I think some of the most meaningful things came from donations because they are things that I couldn't buy, I couldn't find to buy, or I couldn't afford to buy.
Give us an example of one or two of the most meaningful things that you have received.
One would have to be the robe. You know, the very first item that was really important, the very first handkerchief that was given to me, that was very important because that came with a blessing of support and encouragement and going that direction because I was real hesitant to do it at first. And there's so many things. That's really a hard question because people have donated items from their, like I said, from their families. And so those are important too for me because that tells the story and keeps the spirit alive for the people who were there and who were part of it and really who built it, who built the city and their hearts and souls were into it. And the aftermath was just devastating to so many people. And so many people look back at that time and go, oh, they thought that they were going to have the city for the rest of their lives, that they were going to be able to live and grow in that community. And it was just a bit heartbreaking for them when it dissolved. A lot of them felt lost and didn't know what to do. And so there's various stories on that. So it's hard to say. It'd be easy to say the robe or the hat because that was something he physically touched. And I know that the spirit and the energy is in those items. But at the same time, the items that come from families or people that just want to make a contribution or just to have the item, or they just say, I have these items. I don't know what to do with them. Would you like those? So that's my answer to that. Of course, I never thought the robe would come my way. And that was interesting because that was through Vina, as you said. And my contact with Vina was I came across some of the first edition books that had marbled covers. You know, it had marble. Now, I knew Osho loved marble. And I thought, well, maybe these are special edition books. I wondered why the marble when all the other editions had just like the plain color, the single color. And so I contacted her about that, and I thought, oh, maybe this is something special. And she said, and she kind of blew the illusion and said, well, actually, it's because the book makers ran out of whatever the fabric was. So the marble one, would they just happened to have. And of course, I was disappointed, and I was, oh, is that really what it was? But then at the same time, it was like, well, that's interesting, too, because I know that Osho was really involved in the making of those books, and those books meant a lot to him. And so when those books, I feel like they have a lot of his spirit in them by him being so hands-on and wanting them a certain way. And it's been really nice to talk to photographers who took the photographs. So I also have photographs that some of the photographers have sent to me. And so I think one of the most wonderful things is being able just to talk to people and to contact people and to hear people's stories. And I feel this sense of mission of trying to keep it alive somehow. And as this has grown and grown, now it's becoming, okay, where are my next steps with this? How do I keep it alive affordably? Because I can't just rent a building and have a museum. That would be a lot of overhead that I don't think I would be able to recoup in that way. But I've had people come before the pandemic. I had people come and whatever they wanted to research, I would pull out for them. Kind of like a research library where they tell me what they want. And then I would pull that out for them and answer any questions and let them search through the items.
So at the moment, is this at your place, at your home? You have a dedicated space for all of these
physical things? Yes, and I also have a storage unit for some of the items that... like some of the books. So I have some in a storage unit and some at my home. They used to all be in my home, but then it started taking over the home. And also I'm kind of, I have a vision in my mind of what I wanted, of what I'm wanting. And I think my vision right now of what I'm wanting is I'm wanting these items to be out and I want them to be on display. I really was disappointed when I went to the Historical Society and saw their little exhibition on Rajneeshpuram. I was really disappointed that there was so much left off. I mean, how many discourses did he give and how many books were written? And none of that's even discussed or talked about. Or his philosophy background, which really intrigues me. I'm really intrigued by the way he synthesized so many different things and came at it from so many different angles. The same core. So I really want that to be available for people. So right now I just make it available through myself and people contacting me and doing what I can. And or at least, there's a lot of great research, like I said, on the wiki. They're doing some marvelous work. And so I kind of also see my role as the wiki has it all digital, has a lot of digital. I would like the physical. To me, the physical, the hands-on, the physical items are really intriguing to me. And so they have a really great digital part of research there. So, and so many people, there are so many wonderful websites, there are so many wonderful people. I was afraid you were going to ask me about people. And I was going through the archives going, I can't remember all these names.
Nah, no worries. So I think what you're doing is amazing and
thank you.
Very much aligned to what is my dream and what is my vision as well, which is partly what I'm doing with the podcast and interviewing the sannyasins who have been with Osho, but not just the sannyasins who have been with Osho. What I've noticed is that even today, 2020, the world is completely different. We are moving so fast, this tech world and so much progress, but Osho is still omitted. There are so many brilliant minds quoting this guru, quoting that master, quoting that philosopher, from Yogananda, even the Dalai Lama, Thich Nhat Hanh, Lao Tzu, Seneca, Marc Aurelius, you name it. But Osho is never quoted. No doubt that these people have known, they know they've read Osho. Osho is a genius, but is not acknowledged, is not recognized. His contribution is really not discussed. And everything that we hear is the same story. So I think what you're doing is going towards that direction because you want to educate people. You want to show the story. Right. You want to show that the reason why thousands of people fell in love with Osho, thousands of people are still today attracted, the spiritual element of it. So how do you see this? What do you think could be, for you personally and in general, what do you think could be a project or something to help this vision realize?
Well, where my mind is at right now is I'm thinking more on the basis of a curator and kind of a museum outlook in that there's so many avenues and so much to be done to make it professional and to be able to tell the story. So that's why I'm reaching out to one of the universities to see if their students in museum studies and religious studies and all of those various departments want to come together and want to use the archives for their projects and for building that. Where it goes, I don't really know. I mean, I didn't know when I started that I would be here. So where it goes, my heart is open. It's very important that stories be told, which is what I love about what you're doing. I just so love what you're doing, that you are archiving people's stories. That is just so phenomenal and so wonderful. And unfortunately, we're losing important people and wonderful people from the Puna One and from Rajneeshpuram. Once they're gone, those stories are gone. Once they're gone, those artifacts, to me, the artifacts tell a story. So we're going through a transition right now. There's so many people we've already lost just in the last 4 or 5 years since I started this project, that it's really meaningful for me that their spirit stays alive and their stories are told. And to me, being told through physical objects is a great way to do it, because as what you're doing and what other websites are doing, the stories are being told digitally. But there's something to me about having that physical item, the energy of the physical item. But, I keep going back to the first edition books, but gosh, I love those. I love the way they're made. I love the photography. I love the history of them. I feel that way with so many of the articles, even the tchotchkes that come from the ranch, here's a Frisbee or whatever. I mean, to me, even those kind of tell a story in a way, especially as people donate those and I say, tell me the story behind it. Sometimes they don't know, sometimes they do. So, but I'm a real kinesthetic person. So having the item, it was discouraging to me to not be able to have the items when I were looking for them in the archives. It was really discouraging, but at the same time, it led me to do my own self-discovery. I really love the American Human Potential movement, all of the spiritualism that happened in the 60s and 70s. That was really a little bit before my time, but I've always been drawn and attracted to that. As much as I've been drawn and attracted to and grew up with Christianity, and along the way, I've always been intrigued with different ideas. And I've also always been really intrigued that it all comes back to love. I really try and put my heart and love into what I'm doing. And I wish I had I wish I was 20 people with 20 different arms and and 8 lifetimes.
Well, we do what we can, but there is a lot we can do. We have a lot of energy and potential.
Yeah.
So, and you are doing it anyway. So it's wonderful. Yeah. And I think physical objects do carry energy. You know, I know for a fact that Osho used to give the robes and objects to his sannyasins exactly because there is a physical connection with the object that carries energy. So what you're doing has meaning for me, my understanding.
Thank
you. That's great.
Thank you.
So we need to wrap up. I can talk forever, and I'm sure we'll talk more offline. So I've got 3 final questions. Is there anything else you want to add to conclude before I shoot the last 3 questions?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, let's go for it. So the first one is, what is, in your view, Osho's greatest contribution to the world?
Greatest contribution to the world to me was being able to synthesize so many viewpoints, philosophies, and religious avenues, I would say, and be able to synthesize that into one. And as he said in the discourses of the beloved, it all leads back to love. It all leads back to love in the heart. And I've always believed that. I've always believed that it all, every avenue that I've studied just goes back to loving yourself and loving others and loving God, whatever that be for you. And to me, that's really what's important to me, is that he was able to synthesize so much of that and make meaning out of it. Like I said before, just to be able to go, oh, someone understands. Someone else understands what I've been feeling in my heart my whole life, but I can't put it into words. So I think that's very important.
That's wonderful. So the second question is, what is the most beautiful gift you received from Osho? Not in terms of the archive, you know, in terms of your life from Osho, from your connection, from reading the books, listening to audios and meditating.
I think that to know, it was really important for me to know that I wasn't crazy, that the way I felt about so many things was real. And even though I can't communicate it, it's just brilliant and meaningful to me that I was able to find someone who understood and could put into words my heart.
Very beautiful. So the last question is, you haven't met Osho in the body yet, right? You are a sannyasin and you are so much involved in doing Osho's work in a way.
Right.
What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho?
It means a lot. It means it feeds my spirit. It feeds my mind. It feeds my soul. And it's never ending. I mean, this whole story and Osho himself is like an onion. And every time I peel a layer, there's another layer. And I peel that layer and there's another layer. And to me, that is just so remarkable. It's so fascinating. And it's just such a thrill every time another layer is open and I go, oh man, there's another part of that too. And, you know, so I want to understand that part too. And so that's really how this whole thing grew. It just grew from this and then layer after layer after layer after layer. And still trying to get to the different layers. And so to me, that's just so awesome.
Wonderful. Well, Champak, what a joy, what a pleasure. Really, really enjoyed chatting with you and learning about what you're doing. It's absolutely fantastic. I totally support what you're doing.
Thank you
so much. And thanks for being part of the Love Osho podcast, for sharing your story and the project you're doing, which is absolutely important, amazing, and I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's been very nice talking to you. Thank you for reaching out to me. And I can't speak enough about all the wonderful contributions that you're making with this podcast on keeping the spirit of the sannyasins alive and keeping the spirit of Osho alive.
Thanks.
It's really, really meaningful.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I send you a big, big, big hug all the way across the ocean. I hope to come and visit your place when the world.
I hope to see you. Yes. Yes. I would love nothing more than that.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. Lots of love. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.